Hey guys, I'm Heidi Preeb. Welcome back to my channel, or welcome if you're new here. This winter on this channel, we've been talking about rupture, self-recovery, and repair. And today in particular, we're going to be talking very directly about that last piece of that process, which is relational repair. There are about a million different opinions and strategies out there in the world about what the right way to do conflict resolution is. But what I mostly want to get at today is not the mechanisms of repair specifically, but the underlying kind of spirit of it. Because in my opinion, repair is not in its most essential form about figuring out how to perfectly allocate blame or accountability, or about figuring out what the most perfect plan to avoid future pain is. Repair is just about figuring out how two people can return to intimacy with each other. Now, intimacy means knowing each other deeply. And I believe that the most fundamental error people make when they're trying to move past a rupture is that they're trying to get the relationship, or the way that the relationship feels, to go back to the way that it used to be, before whatever painful thing happened between them that temporarily threw them off the same team. So this is important to point out because when we're operating from that place of wanting things to get back to the way that they were, usually we're not actually wanting intimacy with the person who's standing right in front of us. We're wanting intimacy with a past version of that person, or maybe the version of that person that we once thought we knew before the conflict happened. But intimacy can only take place in the present. So if we're trying to return to it after a rupture, what we're actually needing to do is get acquainted with the person that the rupture made each party into. So, I once had a long-term relationship that went through a pretty significant rupture about 2 years into the connection. And the relationship itself lasted almost 8 years when all was said and done. But we only really knew each other for those first 2 years. Because when that rupture happened, and we were so, so young and under-resourced for moving through any of this kind of stuff, I felt deeply betrayed by my partner. But I didn't have any of the internal skills for processing those feelings of betrayal. And so I shut them out of my awareness, and I tried to carry on like nothing had happened. But in that process, my partner lost the ability to know me. Because something had happened. Right? I was not the same person going forward that I had been before that rupture. My relationship to trust had changed. My hopes and dreams about the relationship that we were in with each other had changed. I'd adjusted my expectations drastically without noticing myself doing that. And a huge part of the innocence that I'd once felt that had been driving so much of the openness and the joy that I'd once felt in that relationship had also gotten lost. And so I was asking my partner to carry on with me as though nothing had happened. But I wasn't the same person as I was before the rupture had happened. I had changed, and so had my partner. But it would take many, many years for either of us to realize that. And so when we're talking about relational repair today, there are tons of different tools that we can use to approach it, but there's an underlying structure that absolutely needs to happen in order for it to get at anything real, which is one. We have to acknowledge that we have the capacity to be impacted by the people that we're close with, which includes the capacity to be hurt and changed, sometimes for the worse, by them. So that means accepting that relationships and the things that happen inside of them actually do get to us, no matter how good we get at rationalizing them away. Right? And that might actually be the most challenging step for those of us on the more avoidant side of the attachment spectrum. But two, we also have to acknowledge that we all have the capacity to hurt the people that we care about, with or without meaning to. In fact, I would go so far as to say that hurting someone we love is pretty much a complete inevitability if we want to have healthy relationships. So relationships where any degree of risk-taking can actually happen. And that does not make us terrible or irredeemable people. That's something that I think securely attached people tend to have a more intuitive sense of, but insecurely attached people across all categories can really, really struggle with for slightly different reasons. That idea that we can hurt someone we love inadvertently or advertently in some cases, and it does not make us a monster. It's a natural byproduct of being close to anyone. 3, we have to be willing to commit to getting to know our own pain. So I once made a video called Befriending Your Heartbreak that goes over this process in detail, and I'll also link that one in the description of this video. But essentially, the point of that video is if we can learn to stay present with the pain that we're experiencing in the wake of relational ruptures, we can learn a ton about ourselves and how our worldviews and our identities are actually updating in real time. And I'm going to linger on this point for a bit because I actually think that there's this paradox for some of us where the more intensely we tend to feel emotional pain, the worse we might actually be at getting acquainted with it. Because if we tend to feel things at like an 8 or 9 out of 10, what's probably happening is that as soon as that pain comes online, we're getting overwhelmed by it. And when we are overwhelmed by pain, we usually automatically start doing whatever we can think of to try to reduce it. So that might mean leaving our partners 9 or 10 messages in a row, demanding that they take accountability for how they hurt us and find a way to make it up to us. Because we think that if they do that, if they just say the things that we so badly want them to say, then things will feel closer to normal again, and that pain will recede. And maybe they do comply or partially comply, and it actually does reduce the pain a little bit, right? But it doesn't really work in the direction of getting us attuned to the experience of that pain and what it was actually there to teach us. Or maybe when we feel things at like an 8 or 9 level, we immediately turn towards whichever substances or whichever activities or mental reframes will help us numb out from that pain and get our nervous systems to down-regulate. And maybe that actually does help us calm down temporarily, right? But again, what we're bypassing in that process is the experience of actually getting in touch with whatever that pain was there to alert us to. And so in both of those cases, we are experiencing our pain quite intensely, but we're not actually integrating or learning from it. And I just want to make clear before we get going on that point that this is not a moral failing. Okay, it's just how people work. If you come across someone who is in 9 out of 10 physical pain, that person is not going to be sitting around calmly theorizing about where that pain might be originating from and figuring out how to experience less of it by making lifestyle adjustments in the future. They are almost definitely going to be desperately seeking out any painkiller they can find to reduce their in-the-moment distress, right? Our bodies are wired to respond to extreme pain that way. But what I'm trying to point at here is that if we do have one of those nervous systems that are hypersensitive to emotional pain, which can happen for a whole variety of reasons, we might be quicker to go right outside of our window of tolerance the moment something feels painful. But we can only really get to know our pain and our suffering from inside of that window of tolerance, where we are regulated enough to be able to pay proper attention to it. So inside of that window is where we need to be in order to A, get connected to what specifically about a given situation matters to us. Okay, so why does this conflict or this rupture hurt as much as it does? Which of my values might be feeling offended or attacked through this process? Or what meaning that I've historically made about this relationship might be getting challenged in real time? So that's the place where we can get real information about how we can care for ourselves around all of that change while it's happening. And B, where we need to be in order to communicate all of that to somebody else. Because if we can't really return to intimacy with someone, right? We can only meet someone as deeply as we have met ourselves. And if we're expecting someone to take away all of our pain before we have really sat with it and met it ourselves, we're asking something that is really impossible for another person to do adequately. So a big part of the rupture and repair process has to be staying in that self-recovery piece for long enough to really get in touch with ourselves and figure out what it is about all of this that matters to us so much. 4, we have to be willing to commit to getting to know about our partner's pain or our friend's pain, or our parent or child's pain, whoever it is that we're in that repair process with. And this is going to be the hardest step for a lot of us, right? Because for a lot of us who do not have that secure programming kind of inside of our bones, our first response to hearing that we hurt someone else is going to be total dysregulation in the system. But that's also the point where this wiser part of ourselves that maybe we've been growing over time, that does have access to at least a little bit of secure programming, has the opportunity to try something different and to practice a little bit of conscious differentiation. So, reminding ourselves that different people get hurt by different things, which means that A, just because we might not feel hurt over the thing that someone else is hurt by, does not mean that their hurt is exaggerated or made up or not valid. And B, it is very normal to go through the experience of accidentally hurting someone that we care about when we are in a connection with them. It does not mean that we are a terrible person. It does not mean we have terrible intentions and don't care about people. It doesn't even mean that we're totally incompetent at relationships, right? It's just something that happens to everybody by virtue of being close to anyone. And if we can stick with those reminders for long enough to stay centered in what's happening, then we can get to that part where we actually start understanding what happened inside of the other person during and after the rupture that we had with them. So, how did this conflict change the way that that person is experiencing either us or themselves or the relationship? What meaning did they make out of what happened? What expectations about the future might have shifted for them throughout all of this? Because just like with our own pain, when someone else is hurt by something that happened, parts of them update in response to that hurt. And if we want intimacy with them again, we have to be willing to get to know those updated parts of them. What this does not mean is that we automatically have to agree with every interpretation that someone might be making about why something happened or what it says about us or about the relationship. Okay, understanding someone's experience and agreeing with every conclusion that they draw from it are different things. But repair does require us to stay present for long enough to actually get a grasp of what that person's experience has been. So, what specifically hurt about this rupture for them or still hurts? What fears might have been activated for them that weren't online prior to that point that might still be online now? What sense of safety or trust might have been disrupted? And how does that change the way that they're thinking about the future of the relationship, or the present of it, or even the past of it in some cases? Until we know the answers to these things, we don't really know who it is that we're trying to repair things with. Right? And until we know that, we can't really move on to the final step, which is deciding whether we want to start over in a new way with this person, with the updated models of each other alive and online. So, when we are at the beginning stages of a relationship, when we are first dating someone or first getting to know someone, our capacity for intimacy with them is more or less a measure of how much of their experience we're able to take in and hold and be present with. So, maybe in the first several months of getting to know someone, we are happy to listen to them talk for hours at a time about all of the experiences they've had in their lives, all of the unique things that have shaped them and changed them and made them into who they are today. And maybe that all feels really easy and completely unthreatening to do, right? Because none of that stuff ever involved you. It's just this person and the meaning that they have made out of their own lives. But our sustained capacity for intimacy, which is what long-term relationships are built out of, is a measure of how well we're able to keep updating on someone as we continue to get to know them. So, there's this old adage that goes, you marry one person, you divorce another. And I do know that that's meant to be like a kind of quippy commentary on how people can keep major parts of themselves concealed over the course of a marriage. But I think it's also just necessarily true of any long-term relationship, whether you break up or not. Right? Life changes all of us as it goes on. And anytime we become close and connected to someone else, we also begin to change each other for better, but also in some ways for worse. Which means that if we want to stay intimate with someone over time, We're going to have to be capable of routinely updating not just on who is this person now, that a year has passed, or 2 years have passed, or 10, but also who is this person now that they have been close to and impacted by me. So, how have we influenced each other's lives for better, but sometimes also for worse? And how are we each going to hold the responsibility that comes along with being such a close and impactful part of each other's lives? How do we want to hold that individually, but also collectively through the agreements that we make with each other? So that's the place where those repair conversations truly begin. Right? Ruptures in our relationships create new realities. Repair is the process of updating on and adapting to that reality. So, we might need to start looking at things like which dreams about the relationship have changed or even died through this rupture. Maybe we had a partner or a friend or a parent who we had placed way up on a pedestal. And when they didn't live up to our expectations of them in some particular way, we may have had to surface and communicate for the very first time in our conscious minds what exactly those expectations were. And through that process, we might have realized that this person was never willing, or maybe never capable, of fulfilling those expectations. Which then raises the question, what do we want to do with that gap between the fantasy version of our relationship and the reality that we're now becoming aware of? Do we keep trying to shove that person back up on their pedestal where we want them to be and keep getting disappointed? Or do we want to update? So, who is this actual person who's standing in front of me? And do I want to do the work of grieving that particular fantasy that I had about them and how I wanted them to show up and getting to know the person standing in front of me right now, including what it would take to make a relationship with that person work? The answer might be yes, but it also might be no. But we're not going to figure that out unless we're willing to look right at the reality of who we now know this person to be, as well as the reality of who we are and why we may have formed those fantasies in the first place, and decide whether we want to work from there. Other times, ruptures can reveal things like the limits of a relationship. Right? Maybe we realize that this person standing in front of us is someone who does love us, but who really struggles to show up in certain ways when things get emotionally charged. So maybe there's someone who can be incredibly loyal, but not particularly emotionally expressive. Or maybe there's someone who is really fun and engaging in so many different areas of their lives, but we find out over time that they're not always the safest person for us to trust with our more vulnerable feelings and needs. And if any of those things are the case, then what repair might look like is updating on the role that that person plays in our lives. So maybe we stay close to them, but we stop relying on them for certain types of support that they're just not able to give us. Or maybe we draw clearer boundaries for ourselves and the other person about how we're going to engage with the relationship overall. So maybe we withdraw some of that psychic energy that we've had flowing towards this person in certain areas and start considering where we could get those needs met elsewhere. So, the point that we're circling around with all of this is that rupture pretty much always presents us with a break in continuity around our expectations of someone. Okay, so that's kind of a fancy way of saying that when we go through a rupture, we get new information that might not fit what we thought was true about our relationship with someone. And that presents us with the opportunity to ask ourselves and each other, given everything that we now know about each other, what kind of relationship do we want to build from this place? Sometimes the answer to that question is that the relationship deepens and intimacy really strengthens and grows through that increased exposure to reality because both people are willing to face it together. But other times the answer is that the relationship changes. So certain expectations might shift or new boundaries might need to be put into place. And sometimes we learn that the relationship can't continue in the same way at all. But whatever the outcome, the repair process starts the moment that one or both people realize that things cannot go backwards to the way that they were. But there is an option available: to be intentional about what you are going to do as a unit, about all of the new realities that the rupture has presented you with. All right, that's all I'm going to say on this topic for today. But as always, any questions, any thoughts that have been coming up for you as you've gone through this video, please leave in the comment section below. I love you guys. I hope you're taking care of yourselves and each other. And I will see you back here again really soon.